now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Now it's Lopez, lob for Giannis, right at the rim, caught it, alley-oop, slam dunk, throws it home with two hands.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Darius Garland, the point guard, back out there. His pass got stolen by Giannis on the perimeter, and a breakaway to the other end, slam dunk. Giannis, a two-handed flying rim rocker.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
23-point loss in Cleveland to the Cavs, so the Bucks lose the season series to Cleveland, are 0-3, a collective 0-6 against the top two records in the Eastern Conference. I do have some thoughts on that. We'll get to in a moment. Open up the door for you as well. Any takeaways you had? We heard Doc Rivers' thoughts. I'm kind of aligned with Doc that this we'll review it quickly and then throw it away. Not a whole lot to take away from this one. But the number to join us tonight, 855-616-1620. Before we get to any of that, Brandon, I understand you have some game balls from this one.
Yeah, the only game ball is going to producer Max Meyerson behind the board tonight, because that's a good team over there in Cleveland. No, I don't. I mean, if I got to give one, I'm going to give one to Giannis. At least he had 33 and 14 tonight. I mean, at least he looked probably the best out of the team tonight. But, you know, it's you and I talked about this, Justin, on Tuesday night after they won the tournament. We were both going to be curious as to how this team responded after winning the NBA Cup, you know, an emotional kind of run there, and poured a lot into it. The players obviously wanted to win it. Doc Rivers wanted to win it. On the television broadcast, Marcus Johnson pointed out that it just didn't look like the Bucks had a whole lot of lift on any of their jump shots, and it just looked like they were lagging a little bit in the energy department. But it's you know, I mean, I don't want to say like I expected this, but I didn't expect a blowout like this, but I kind of expected. Yeah, it was going to be a tough game, and then a couple hours before tip-off, you hear that Damian Lillard is out with a calf injury, so your eyebrows, at least for me, kind of raised up a little bit. Who's going to handle the ball at the point guard position? We eventually saw DeLon Wright, but A.J. Green got the start. So I didn't have a good feeling, Justin, going into this one. But I'll say this. Like, I know that first half quickly – kind of got away with them. That first quarter is really when the end of that first quarter is kind of when it started with that the whole foul, Donovan Mitchell foul thing. But every time they made a bucket, it felt like the Cavs went down and made a three. The Bucks would score 5 points, the Cavs would go on a 8-0 run, and it just felt like they could not break, you know, that rope tonight. They just couldn't grab that rope and pull back. And these games happen, you know. You don't, again, they're 14-12. They've kind of turned things around. They obviously came off that NBA Cup championship. Eventually, though, Justin, we got to have the conversation. I know you alluded to it there, that you got to play with the big dogs in the East, and you got to show you can win these games. And I know, you know, being on the road, Doc Rivers said less than 24 hours, quick turnaround. Now you're on a back-to-back, and although it's Washington, we'll see how they respond tomorrow. They were able to rest some guys late in that fourth quarter. But at some point, you know, we got to put together one of these games against one of these top dogs. I mean, and it's not just for us fans. Like, I think the players need to kind of see that too. Like, we know they're good. You know, we know they're good. They know they're good, but they got to eventually put that to the test and pass one of these tougher tests. And I don't want to be the guy that's burying excuses tonight, but it's like, I feel like we never catch these teams healthy. Like, now we don't have Damian Lillard tonight, you know, and I know they were missing some of their guys as well. But it just feels like, you know, that's a bigger piece to our puzzle than I would like to have seen, especially going up on the road in a tough game after a really crazy 5-6 days in Las Vegas.
Okay, a lot of wheeze in there, so I'll try to unpack this. I don't know if
we are the Bucks, Justin.
You're a member of the team now. Okay.
Well, I have the tattoo on my arm, so I kind of am.
I mean, yeah, it's the last point you made. It's not to take anything away from Cleveland. I agree, they're a very good team in the regular season so far. We'll see if this playoff is any different. I understand the Bucks lost in the first round the first last 2 years. So it's not as though you're dealing from a position of strength there. But I think the larger point we'll get into a little bit later is some of the takeaways coming out of the NBA Cup. But, yeah, the three games against the Cavs, you're 0-3. You didn't have Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Dame on the floor together for any of those three games. One of those games you had Giannis and Dame together. One game you had only Dame, and now one game you had Giannis and Chris Middleton. So you have not played those teams. You did play the Celtics full strength. But,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, the larger point is we have seen a lot of positive momentum, and one game doesn't halt all of that, but not turning it around tomorrow can start to halt that. So I know we mentioned the schedule, and Doc kind of tiptoed around a potential schedule loss and some of the points that he raised about scheduling of the NBA Cup. I do think that's an interesting conversation to get into, so we'll do that in a moment. But the record against those top two teams in the Eastern Conference, what does it mean? I do think we should explore that. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. What does it say that the Bucks are now 0-6 against the top two records in the Eastern Conference? We'll share our thoughts next.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
124-104 the final. A 23-point loss to the Cavs tonight for the Bucks. So you lost your first two games against Cleveland by 3 points. I think that was something a lot of us circled and pointed to of, look, they're playing better against good teams. Lost in a last-second jumper by Donovan Mitchell. You had a big comeback in Cleveland, and we're right in that game with a chance to win in another big Damian Lillard game. So you played them tough but didn't win. Similar story against the Celtics in all three of your matchups with Boston this year. But this one, not so much. Now, you heard Doc after the game say not a whole lot of takeaways from this, and he's opined about the scheduling of the NBA Cup. I agree with him for the most part on how it's treated. I would also counter with, look, they already started to give back a lot with this schedule. Yeah. So
tons.
Do you want to open the door to 20 back-to-backs and really pushing the schedule out or starting earlier? Because those are the only other alternatives. If we're really making this into another longer than an All-Star break, essentially. Because he pointed out during, I think it was in pregame, in his media availability, that, you know, you do look at it and you say, well, Oklahoma City played last night. And granted, the league didn't know when they made the schedule, the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be playing in the NBA Cup final. I think you thought there was a good chance of it. But he pointed to the fact that, well, some of the other teams that weren't in Vegas, they got rest. I mean, they got an extra day because they weren't playing Tuesday and no teams played Wednesday. But it wasn't as though, because this is something you and I heard a lot on this show. Just because you made it to the Cup, if you didn't qualify for the knockout rounds, it's not like you were done and had 10 days off. Mm-hmm. You played that Sunday or Monday, and you played another game in the week. So, like, yeah, you got an extra day of rest if you were one of those teams that did not qualify. 28 other teams got an extra day. I don't think that's a massive, hey, we really got to look into this. Maybe build in an extra day, fine, I suppose. Well, all right, we're going to push it back more. But then you're running into how many days off are you really going to take when we already have an All-Star break and we have this thing like TV contracts and next year new network partners and streaming partners where you have promised inventory and they're expecting specific days of games. So I just think that part is unavoidable, and you had a lot of rest leading into the Cup. So I get the larger point that, you know, the Bucks won the Cup Tuesday night. They flew back to Milwaukee, got there Wednesday morning, and then immediately, like, drop off your stuff, get your new jerseys, get anything else you want to bring on the road with you, and we're leaving for Cleveland. But it's not that different from any other road trip or game throughout the course of the regular season. The larger part of it was, we talked about this Tuesday night. how do you come down from the emotional high of what you did running through a gauntlet of competition in a tournament, single elimination tournament style that brings up that level of competition and the emotions in these games, and now just go right back to, okay, it's standard regular season games with nothing at stake. Like, the emotional letdown is going to be something to monitor, and I think that's more so than the schedule. That's a lot of what we saw.
And I'm glad, Justin, to your point that you just made, I'm glad Darvin Ham is on the bench next to Doc Rivers, because I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the Lakers were 2-10 after they won the NBA Cup last year.
See,
I don't remember exactly what it was rough.
So they were 3-10. The Pacers were 2-6.
3-10. Okay.
And
okay.
Was it great? No. I need more than one season to.
I agree.
And I'm not saying that's your point, but because we've heard it literally everywhere. That has been the discourse.
Yeah.
On ESPN shows, on talk shows, on podcasts, anything that's covering the NBA, all of the discourse is, well, look at what the Lakers did last year. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the Pacers went 2-6 out of the cup as well. I need more than a year to say, are we sure this is a good thing for the team that goes deep and wins it? Like, those two teams, when they combined, what's the quick math? They're 5-16 out of not even aligned schedules. And as we saw over the course of the year with the Lakers, they had a lot of problems, period. So if this becomes the Bucks go 2-9 coming out of this, and we see the Thunder, although the Thunder appear to be 2-0 now coming out of the cup. But if we start to see this year after year where one of those teams that wins it or both of them that play in the final really have a tough 2 weeks coming out of it, okay, then maybe it's something. But to me, for as much as we heard it in the last 2 days, it just feels like a lazy narrative.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. And the only reason I mentioned Darvin Ham is because obviously he was advising Doc Rivers after they had won, you know, hey, this. So obviously he knows, he has the only experience of winning the NBA Cup as a head coach. So I meant, like, I'm glad he's kind of there to kind of talk through what worked for him last year and clearly what didn't work for him last year.
Don't do this.
Yeah. Don't do what we did. Just don't do it. I will say this, though. I love Doc Rivers. I've been a big Doc Rivers fan. I don't like the scheduling because it doesn't – the comment he made about the scheduling. Like, you won the game on Tuesday. You probably partied. Maybe the players went out. I don't know.
You don't like the schedule, or you don't like his?
No, I don't like that it's even being brought up. Like, is it an excuse? Sure. I mean, we could talk about 10 different scheduling conflicts throughout the course of the season, but at the end of the day, you played a game Tuesday and you had another one Friday. I mean, that's good NBA rest. You know what I mean?
I will say, in fairness to Doc Rivers, even before the Bucks were in the knockout round, like as the tournament was starting, he raised that point at a handful of his media availabilities that this wasn't just now that we're one of the final two, I'm really going to drive this point home. Like that was something he said from the start of, I do hope next year the league reviews this even more and builds in more time off coming out of the tournament.
Well, and to his point, Giannis even went out of his way to say how much he liked the scheduling and how much, it was more beneficial to the players. They didn't get in and a day before, and then they have to rush and play. And then obviously they didn't advance last year. So maybe he's just speaking on to that point, but I know he had said, he gave kudos to Adam Silver and the league for identifying issue in year one. And again, we'll see this thing evolve. I believe, in the first 5 years,
I would imagine there's going to be, imagine there's going to be some tweaks to it next year.
Yeah, but I think, it's a tough game. It's probably, I'm looking at their schedule now, Justin, and it's probably their toughest game
tonight.
Really, tonight was
until the Spurs game.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, the Spurs. I see the Spurs. The first week of January.
Yeah.
So, you knew it was going to be tough going into it. Even if they don't win that NBA Cup game, and it's a Tuesday night game, and going to Cleveland was going to be a tough matchup. They're 14-1, now 15-1 at home. I mean, they're a darn good basketball team, but that was what I wanted to see. I wanted to see a Bucks victory, but I wanted to see this team kind of get tested, and I mentioned it after on Tuesday. I wanted to see them get tested once again. Now, obviously, they failed miserably, but I just it's kind of I agree with Doc Rivers on this part. It's an incomplete grade because you didn't really learn anything. You didn't have Damian Lillard, AJ Green. As much as I love AJ Automatic, he isn't a point guard. You know, you were playing guys out of rotation. It just felt I don't want to say like a loss before it started, but it reeked of a loss. I didn't expect it to be a 23-point defeat, but you know, I mean, these types of games are going to happen. It's just they're at a part right now, Justin, where, and you've talked about this extensively, and I think it's so great. You dug yourself out of the hole. Like, don't put yourself back in there. Now, I'm not saying they're going to, but you're 14-12. You got Washington, Chicago, Brooklyn, yeah. Chicago. You have an opportunity, whether you're healthy or not, and we know Damian Lillard is probably not going to play tomorrow, to kind of keep your head above water going forward. You don't really have a scheduling issue looking at this schedule going forward. So don't screw it up.
we pointed to the Spurs game. The Pacers one should be interesting on on New Year's Eve. Because there's obviously juice there. The Bucks beat them already this season. And Indy has started to play better. But I think the Spurs are the next team the Bucks face that has a winning record.
You'd be correct.
So, So, and that's what we're basically 2.5 weeks away from that.
January 8th, which feels like a long time from now. But I mean, it's 3 weeks.
So you've got a nice little runway here to, okay. You're gonna lose, right? It's like Doc said when their winning streak came to an end. Like, we're not gonna win forever, but don't turn this into a streak on the other end. So these games, I agree. We're not gonna learn anything tonight. It won't be until tomorrow when the Bucks have to release their injury report. But I would not expect to see Damian Lillard playing in this game tomorrow. I'm just as curious about Monday. Because of a strain there, and Doc said we're going to be very cautious with him. And I mean, that's the other thing is Giannis and Dame, they've played a lot, and they've played a lot of minutes, and they've been available for all these games. That's a big part of why this team was able to crawl up out of that hole that they were in. But if you're going to be playing without one of those guys, now is one of those stretches in the schedule where you'd say, okay, I guess we'll go with it here. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, I mentioned they're 0-6. The Bucks are against the Cavs and the Celtics this season. What does that mean? We'll share our thoughts next.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so with this loss tonight, a 23-point loss, a game that... 36 was the high for Cleveland. You touched on it briefly. I do want to get back to that in a second about where this really went out of reach for the Bucks. But you're 0-6 now against the Cavs and the Boston Celtics. All three of those against the Celtics were competitive. The first two against the Cavs were. This one was not. So your best case scenario is you go 1-6 against the top two. What we assume are going to be the top two records in the East when the season ends. It's going to take a lot for somebody to catch up to Cleveland or Boston. So best case is you win 1 out of 7 games against those. I don't know what that means, and I don't know how important it is or is not. I know it means something. Does it mean, hey, the Bucks can't compete against those teams? Not necessarily. But it's going to be the number one thing that you see pointed to when we get into the playoffs, especially if they lose that game in March to the Cavs. Even if the Bucks, you know, continue to play largely like we saw the last 15 official games, let's say the Bucks finish third in the East and they play a lot better. They're maybe even a 50-win team or better, and they start to become one of those teams that everybody says, "I think the Celtics are going to win," but. Don't sleep on the Bucks. Well, the first thing you're going to hear the skeptics point out is they went 1-6 or 0-7 against the top two teams in the East. So I don't know that defines, hey, they can't do this. They can't beat those teams. I don't know. I don't know on a scale of 1 to 10 like what it would raise my level of concern to, but I do know it's at least something worth keeping an eye on.
Well, it didn't work. I mean, and I know it's kind of an excuse again. It's at least it sounds like it. They weren't fully healthy last year, but what did they lose to the Pacers in the regular season and then end up losing in that playoff series?
Yeah, what, 1-4 against Indy in the regular season?
Yeah, some of those were ugly games. And I will say this, though. Like, tonight was definitely odd in a way. You know, there was a lot of different pieces to this game, though, Justin. But I don't know what it is, man. But I'm going to tell you right now, if the Bucks are healthy, I feel a lot more confident even with a, let's say, 1-7 record against those teams than I may have in years past.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it. I can't tell you why. Obviously, health has to matter, and we both have said, like, if they stay healthy, but we just haven't seen that. Yeah. So that's where my anxiety as a fan
or
lies right now.
Or, devil's advocate, sooner or later, the worm has to turn. And, like, one of these years, they have to be healthy, right?
Even when they won the championship, man. Like, we could even go back to that year. Like, you know, Giannis, we thought it might have been a season-ending
Dante DiVincenzo goes down, what, two or three games into the playoffs.
Right. So, like, it feels like, man, you know, you take two steps forward and then three back. You know, just this team cannot seem to really just get healthy. But I will say the two games against the Cavs prior to tonight, really either one of those games could have went in our direction. Donovan Mitchell hits a game winner in Milwaukee. Dame was lights out in that second game without Giannis. You know, Boston too. We played Boston at our lowest parts of the year. One of those games was on a second leg of a back-to-back, and it felt like it was a lot more competitive than I think, you know, we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. The Cavs, too. I mean, those were, what was it, November 2nd and 4th, something like that? It was very early.
It was close.
In the
season.
You're
right. Yeah, right.
Because the two Cavs games, to me, were the start of this team stopping the dig of the hole that they're in. Because it was still included in part of that 2-8 start, but it was the chunk at the back where it was, okay, they're at least starting to look better and play better. They're just not winning, and it took another, week or so before we started to see, okay, now they're starting to win those games.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where, you know, you don't want to go into these games and obviously lose them, but I'm encouraged to see the competitiveness despite not being fully healthy, and I don't know if, okay, so Boston was the first game Chris Middleton was back, I believe.
Yeah.
That was the very, very first game. So that's the only game you have, really, of the big three this year, at least, playing in one of those games. So that's what I would hang my hat on if I'm a Bucks fan.
In one of those, like, big games, you're saying.
Correct. Yes, sir. So, like, that's the one thing that if I'm sitting here and I got to find the positivity in a 23-point defeat and an 0-6 record thus far, like, that's what I'm holding my hat on. And I'll tell you this, and I don't think I'm going to surprise you with this or the listeners, maybe Max. I might surprise Max. But in any one of those series, Justin, we get to that point in the playoffs, I would say more times than not, the team with the best player typically wins, and I think Giannis is the best player or would be the best player in both of those series, and I don't know if that's necessarily
in
a hot take.
The Cavs or Celtics series?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
I mean, without question. I think at this point, the only series the Bucks would play in where it is up for debate if Giannis is the best player in that series would be in the NBA Finals.
And I would agree with you. Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you. And That's obviously what the goal is to get to with this team, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the season, was it was a championship or bust year. But at some point, I think this team's just going to kind of – I think they're going to get right, you know, at the right time. And it's been a quirky – what are we, 6 weeks – what is it, 8 weeks into the season, whatever it is. It just hasn't – nothing's been – it hasn't been calm waters, Justin, it feels like. Like, it just – nothing's been – normal, it feels like, for this team. You know, rough start, Chris Middleton, when's he going to come back? When's he not going to come back? Giannis is missing a few games. Dame's misses a few games. You know, they have some injuries within their rotation. Gary Trent Jr. isn't off to the start that we wanted him, and then he kind of figures it out. Like, there hasn't been a stretch of games. I guess you could put the NBA Cup in and look at what they did in that thing. Like, and that was no small feat. Like, they had the rotation normal. Chris Middleton was in there. Damian Lillard was in there. Giannis was playing immaculate. Like, and they ran through an Oklahoma City team that some are talking about, one, has an MVP candidate, and two, could be the best team in all of the league. And I know record-wise they're not, but, like, they're in that conversation.
Well, they're best in the West, yeah.
And you put them out, you put them to sleep in the third quarter. So, it like, when this team can be healthy and they can put these games together, like, they've shown that they can compete. Like, I don't know what it is with the Eastern Conference and the Celtics and the Cavs, and obviously those are two really good teams, and those are two teams, if you're going to go to the NBA Finals, Justin, you got to figure out a way to beat them.
You touched on you feel different about this year. I agree, based on what we've seen since the 2-8 start, and again, as we touched on there, really at the back half of that 2-8 start, I agree, and I think it's a larger discussion about the Eastern Conference and what we've seen from the Bucks so far this season. So we'll explore that coming up next.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, the Bucks lose in Cleveland tonight by a lot, 124-101. I don't want it to sound like we're just diminishing the game and making excuses. I think there's a lot that went into this one. It's one of those games. Look, I get they have to play on this cadence. You wish you could have flip-flopped the Wizards and Cavs games. Okay, the Wizards game is your first one back and dealing with the emotional letdown, and now you really got to be up for it. You've been thrown into the fire and be up for that Cleveland game. But nonetheless, it is not. So you mentioned, how did you word it, Brandy? You feel differently. You have more confidence in this group.
I don't have anything to back up that point. I don't, because it's not like this team at this core has won outside of Giannis and Dame, or excuse me, Giannis and Chris have won a championship. But, like, I don't know what it is. I couldn't tell you, Justin. Especially after that 2-8 start, I think I go to your point that you've made many times. Just these pieces fit. It makes sense.
Yeah, and I would double down. I agree with you and say, look, the Cavs and the Celtics are clearly the class of the conference. They are a combined 45-10 right now. Boston is four games up on the Knicks for the 2 seed. The Cavs are 6 games up in the loss column for the top seed on the Knicks. So if we took the play-in tournament out of it and just said, let's take the top 8 records, this is our playoffs, this is our playoff matchup, these would be the matchups right now. The 1 versus 8 would be the Cavs and the Pacers. The 2 versus 7 would be one it seems like we get just about every year in the playoffs, the Celtics and the Hawks. The 3 versus 6, again, one it feels like we get a lot, the Knicks and the Miami Heat. And the 4-5 would be the Magic and the Bucks. So, I mean, I know the answer that you're going to give me, but who would you pick in that series between the Bucks and the Magic?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Bucks. But I'll tell you right now, Justin, that's a tough opening round. The way that they're playing and when they get healthy,
Max, who would you pick in a Bucks Magic first round series?
I like the Bucks just because of having Giannis and all that veteran experience versus the Magic, who kind of had their first playoff run last year. But I'll tell you what, that's a tough team. I agree with Brandon.
That's tough. That's going minimum 6.
Are you with me, Max, that the Pacers would beat the Cavs in a first round?
Oh, God. All right. Let's relax over there.
I think
that'd be a good one, though.
To your point, though, look, here's what at least leaves the door open a crack. If you can continue to just stack successes, as Mike McCarthy used to say, and build these good habits, improve all of your weaknesses, and continue to play the way that the Bucks have for the last 5 to 6 weeks. The Celtics. you can't really pick apart anything with them. Is their defense as good as it was a year ago? No. Offense isn't as good as it was a year ago either. I know Kristaps Porzingis missed a big chunk of the season. I know, just like we talked about the emotional come down for the Bucks, the Celtics are dealing with some of that too. You never see the same intensity a year after a championship, as you know what it takes to get it done. And all right, let's save some of this for the playoffs. But on paper, and as you just pick apart weaknesses and how do you diagram schemes to beat this team, the Celtics are clearly number one in the East that has the fewest weaknesses that you can attack. The New York Knicks, the Orlando Magic, I'm not going to lump in the Heat, the Hawks, and the Pacers into that tier, but the Knicks, the Magic, and even the Cavaliers, they have some things that you look at and you say, okay, how is that going to translate in the playoffs? What team is going to be able to take advantage of that? With the Magic, case in point, it's not going to be fun to play them in a seven-game series, but I agree with the point you made earlier. More often than not, the best team or the team that wins the series has the best player in that series. Magic, they're going to create a lot of difficulties for you on the defensive end of the floor. It is a rock fight offensively. I mean, even when they have Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, it's still a challenge for the Magic to generate good offensive shots. We saw that last year in a series against the Cleveland Cavaliers with very similar personnel. The only change is KCP is in the mix now and hasn't gotten off to a great start offensively. So scoring is going to be an issue. And what did we say all of last year, earlier this year, when we were talking about the trade that changed the Bucks? Was, look, the reason why you did that and made that trade was because you saw year after year after year, your offense was not good enough. And you can get all the stops that you want, right? You 10 straight possessions where the opponent hasn't scored. How many have you scored on? That's the problem the Bucks ran into, where, yeah, they stopped them three straight times down the floor. But what happens to that one time that you don't stop them and you're struggling to score? That has been the Bucks' issue throughout the course of the past few postseason. I mean, last year, obviously, the two big injuries and the defense was not very good, but that Celtics series, a series against the Miami Heat, you just couldn't get stops. And you're not only not getting stops, you're not hitting shots. So you have to have a good half-court offense. I think that eliminates the Magic. I just don't see, barring some unforeseen trade, I don't see the move that changes that for the Orlando Magic. The New York Knicks are... Boy, I was thinking about this the other day. Not the other day, this morning. The Knicks and the Denver Nuggets feel like the Bizarro Bucks from last year, because the Bucks reshaped their identity on the fly last year, where they went from that defensive team that had Giannis to the trade for Damian Lillard, where we are going to be an offensive team, and you really shunned your defense because of that. Not just because of Dame individually, but all the moves that they made. Your defense was not good enough. And we saw one-way play does not get it done, especially when that one-way is offense. Like, you can at least enter the chat if that one-way is defense. Like, defense travels, so maybe you win a series. But the way it's stacked with the Magic specifically, I don't think that is a team, while it's promising and they have a bright future and very gifted young players, that to me is not a team that is built to win four series in the playoffs. I think the Knicks are the same. And why I say it's the Knicks and the Nuggets give you those vibes of the Bucks last year. In the case of Denver, it felt like some desperation moves. You have this one player that's really, really great, but the supporting cast around him is maybe taking a step back and not giving you what you would expect. And this guy is putting up these superhuman efforts to guide you to an okay record, like what the Bucks are kind of at this year. And you could say, hey, if they're in the Eastern Conference, the record's better. I agree with that. That kind of speaks to the Bucks of last year. The Knicks, again, they went from a defensive team to an offensive team with that trade. The opposite of what the Bucks did. Their offense has been great. Their defense is not. It is not how the Knicks won last year. Their defense is really bad. Mitchell Robinson is not going to change that. So can the Knicks defensively get the stops? Crazy that we would think after last year, that's the conversation we'd be having at some point this year. Can the Knicks defense get stops in the playoffs? I don't know. Like, that's what I'm going to be very curious to see, because what really hurts them is, while you do have some good defensive players, Mikal Bridges hasn't been as good as expected defensively this year, and it's not just on him. Again, it's what we talked about with Dame and some of these other pieces with other teams that make these trades. It takes time to figure out your fit and role, and that's kind of where the Knicks are. But when your point of attack and rim defense are both subpar, that does not portend well for getting stops in the playoffs. So that is my reservation about the New York Knicks. The Hawks and Pacers, again, I don't think you can put them on that level. They're the Hawks especially, a team that is not going to be fun to play in the first round of the playoffs, but they've got a little more of a mix. Their offense, I don't think, is as good as any of those teams that we've mentioned. Their offense is, their defense is not as good as any of those teams. It's much improved from where it was a year ago, but not to that level. And that brings us to the Cavs, who, again, are a very good team. They are the most, I suppose you'd say, well-rounded of that group, but we have seen for the past few years, and I'm curious to see what Kenny Atkinson does differently. The question surrounding Cleveland is, again, when you get to the playoffs, can we see all four of those pieces fit together on the floor in your two bigs, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell? And more importantly, defensively, who is the team that is going to figure out, okay, here's how we attack their backcourt, because they have two undersized, okay at best, defensive guards out there. And look, you can make the same complaint about the Bucks, where you at least got one of them that's out there, but that's the case against the Cavs. And I think there's going to be a decent amount of skepticism, even with this start, because you see it every year. Whenever some team rushes out, too, they got the best record in the league. Yeah, let's see them do it in the playoffs, is always the discourse that's out there. Of all these other teams that we've seen in the past, I think the Cavs have the best shot to be the most legit, because we've seen them throughout the playoffs the past few years, and this group is unchanged, so you're not redoing your chemistry on the fly. But the point of all of this is, one by one, as you go through these teams, there are questions with every single one of them other than the Celtics. And the question with the Celtics, I suppose, would be, okay, we haven't seen a team repeat since the Golden State Warriors, when they were that juggernaut team. So, I don't know. The fact that we haven't seen it for a handful of years now, are we going to see it again?
I may have to snatch the game ball that I gave to Max and give it to Justin tonight, because somehow, despite a 23-point loss, I feel better about this Bucks. That explanation and rundown of teams in the Eastern Conference.
The point
is, I appreciate it.
I think the door is open to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
But like,
that's
you,
great, yep.
But you can't take your foot off the gas. Like, we need to continue to see this play sustained.
Correct. And that's the point you and I made in the last segment, was now you have the opportunity to kind of get your head way above water, not way above, but comfortably enough above water, and not, you know, just stay there, but to kind of build these good habits and hope that these injuries to Damian Lillard aren't severe and he's able to return. And who knows? I mean, maybe this, you know, tonight I thought Ryan Rollins was fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets, you know, he gets slotted into the point guard starting position tomorrow.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought this second time in, when was the last time we saw him? Was it the Miami Heat game? Marjon Beauchamp gave you good minutes again, too.
Really good minutes. Yeah, and it was, I believe you're right. It was the Heat game was the last time. So I'm curious to see what it looks like tomorrow. We obviously know Damian Lillard's not going to play tomorrow.
Well,
which is fine.
We
assume that he's not going to play tomorrow. And I'm extremely curious to see how. Now, again, you and I talked about being tested right outside, right after that NBA Cup championship, Justin. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be a tough game tomorrow, but I'm curious to see how this team responds again on a second leg of a back-to-back. Now you're home against a team you should beat. Now, how do they respond to that? And how do they nip it right in the bud and get yourself back into the win column and get it figured out from there?
We will take a look at tomorrow night's matchup and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
All All right, so tomorrow night, the Bucks get back on the horse against the Washington Wizards, as we noted a couple of times. I don't expect Damian Lillard to play in that game, so it is going to be interesting to see if that opens the door for Ryan Rollins to get back into the mix, given what we saw from him tonight in the fourth quarter. But it's the inverse of what you had tonight, where you go from the best record in all of the league, but the Eastern Conference as well, to the worst in the Eastern Conference. You go from a team that had lost four games to a team that has only won four games and has a point differential of negative 15. So on average, they're being outscored by 15 points per game. It's not a must win because it's December, but as we said, Brandon, like the big thing from this point forward, it's almost like getting yourself out of debt. Like, all right, I'm out. I'm not going back there. You're not going back to below 500.
No, and you shouldn't, especially with the schedule that you and I laid out. I will say this, though, Justin. I the last time we played them, I know it was a 10-point win, Washington I'm speaking of. They played us pretty well. I don't know. I mean, Giannis had a triple-double, and, you know, what do you think, he had 42 points? And you only won by 10. I don't know. Just, I mean, Jordan Poole had a big game. It seems like he kind of always does, and he's coming back home to Milwaukee. So, again, there is no excuse for this game to go into the other direction.
Yeah.
You need to win this game. But it is a team that you're going to get a good Malcolm Brogdon game again. You're going to get Jordan Poole that's going to try to put on a show for, I believe you and I were doing the post game. He had about 50 relatives in attendance the last time he was here in Milwaukee. So it's a game you should win, but it's not going to be just a rollover. You know what I mean?
And that game, too, to a lesser extent, you were coming off of a cup game. Or was that a cup game? I don't even remember now. Were the Heat? Who even knows anymore what it was?
But I think they played him on a Saturday. It was a Saturday night.
It was after Thanksgiving, too.
Yes.
So your previous game, yeah, it was a cup game against the Heat.
It was.
So you came off of that, and then you came off the holiday and everything else.
Yeah.
And I think we expected to see a bit of clunkiness, and that's what we saw. But that was also the game that got you above 500 for only the second time all season. So to bring it full circle, a chance to continue to build on what we've seen here from this Bucks team of late. And that's the thing, is you look at this team's losses since falling to 2-8 on the season. Tonight, a lot of variables that went into it, but tonight was also the first time since the Knicks game, so November 8th, the first time in 5 or 6 weeks that it really started to get ugly and get out of hand. Like, the Bucks had not had any of those games since that game against the Knicks. But the losses that you had suffered since the 2-8 start, the Charlotte Hornets game, which was technically a loss, Doc Rivers would dispute that. The Atlanta Hawks game, which was night two of a back-to-back, and again, the previous night was your final cup game where you clinched your group and advancing into knockout round.
Yep.
And then in Boston against the Celtics in a game that was competitive save for the final, 6 minutes of the game tonight. Those are the Bucks' losses since starting 2-8 on the season. So you can point to the schedule and what about the teams that they have played? Sure, I'll grant you that. I mean, again, you can only play who's on your schedule. But you could also point to, well, Hawks are playing really well. They beat the Hawks in an important game in the semifinals. Magic, even without their offense, a tough defense to play against, playing very good. Third best record in the Eastern Conference at the time of that game. They beat them in the quarterfinal matchup. The Oklahoma City Thunder in a game everybody's going to forget about because the stats never happen. They beat them. So the Houston Rockets, too. They have, when presented with that challenge, you know, save for tonight, they've at least been competitive in those spots, and they have won most of those since that 2-8 start. So tomorrow, going to be the opposite of that. It is the start of a stretch of eight straight games where you will be playing teams below 500 leading into that Wednesday night matchup in early January with Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs, and that's the start of a big stretch in the other end. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but the Spurs, the Magic, the Knicks, both on the road, Kings, Magic again, 76ers who have started to look better, and Joel Embiid is back. So it does start to pick up, but now, again, eight games where realistically you should be saying, we think we can go 8-0, but like 6-2, worst case, is what we're shooting for to get to 20 wins moving into that matchup with the San Antonio Spurs. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Fiserv Forum, the Bucks and the Washington Wizards. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these airwaves. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Brandon and I will talk to you then.